Mary had been with Jesus all the way. After her own healing and release from seven demons, Mary had been witness to lives made new, bodies healed, and eyes opened. And she had heard the complaining of the disciples and those whispering criticisms of the religious leaders along the way. She had seen the adoration of the people as Jesus entered Jerusalem, and then their hostility as they stood before Pilate, crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And then she stood there beneath the heavy shadow of the cross as Jesus was crucified. Her heart was broken, and the grief was palpable. And I think that, like many of us, when we are in that place drenched in grief at the death of a loved one or a friend, she finds herself feeling that need to do something. Have you ever noticed when somebody dies in the family or in the circle of friends, most people feel incapable of doing anything of meaning? And so they find a way to make casseroles or drop off breakfast because we don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. So maybe Mary was thinking that day, the very least that I can do is go and anoint the body of my beloved teacher, because everyone deserves a proper burial. And so Mary sets off in the darkness of that early morning. Her heart was heavy with sorrow, and in her soul, it was still dark. And I think that empty, dark feeling is not something that we are unaccustomed to. We have all had days when we stand with our dreams in shambles around our feet, when what we believed in or what we hoped for seems to have crumbled and vanished. And it could be just about anything, maybe a broken relationship or disappointment or a derailed dream, unemployment, stressful employment, unwise choices, bad behavior, the grip of addiction, accidents, illness, or death. We've all been there one way or another. And in those moments, I think we find ourselves questioning and wondering and weeping. Like Mary, we find ourselves in the dark. Darkness like that of Mary Magdalene, and we know that somewhere deep inside of ourselves that something has got to give. Something has to happen. Something has to change. There has to be a little bit of light. This contrast of light and dark plays a significant role throughout the gospel according to John. And in this part of the telling of the good news, in this moment, that significant role is that the dark in this story highlights that full recognition and belief, even among the disciples that we encounter this morning, is yet to come. Like many other encounters with Jesus in the Gospels, the woman at the well, the man born blind, many of those stories teach us that there's a progression of sight. There's a progression of recognition and belief. There's a progression and change in perspective. So Mary makes her way back to that garden where we left her on Friday night at the tomb. And she gets there and she sees that the stone has been moved. The opening is no longer sealed. She doesn't go inside. She doesn't investigate. She runs. She runs as fast as she can. And she tells the others, "They have taken the Lord, and we don't know where they have laid him." The beloved disciple and Peter, they set off on this race to get to the tomb. And I often wonder if they were competing to see who could get there first. Who would get there first and see whether or not Mary was telling the truth. Who would get there and see first whether or not she knew what she was talking about? And we're told that the beloved disciple outruns Peter. And when the beloved disciple gets there, bends over, looks inside the tomb, and sees that the grave clothes are wrapped and lying there. But then when Peter arrives, most likely out of breath because he's trying to catch up to the beloved disciple, Peter goes into the tomb. How else will he be able to really see? It's still dark. And there's a progression of perspective, because now that Peter goes inside of the tomb, he sees that not only has the stone been rolled away and that the grave clothes are lying there, but that the one that had been covering Jesus' face is actually fold up and sitting separate from the rest. And then the beloved disciple joins Peter in the tomb, and he sees things for himself, and we are told that he believed. What he believed, we don't know. Did he believe that the resurrection had happened? Did he believe that what Jesus had told them over and over again had occurred? Or did he simply believe with Peter that there was no body in the grave and that the linens were wrapped up? All we know is that having been inside of the tomb, both with their own new perspectives, Peter and the beloved disciple go home. They do nothing with the news that they've seen. They do nothing with their new perspective. It would be like coming here this morning and walking out the doors and not ever saying anything about what it means to you to worship the risen Lord. Peter and the beloved disciple walk by Mary, standing outside of the tomb, weeping. And Mary's perspective hasn't changed yet. She knows nothing beyond the fact that the stone has been rolled away. She is still in that deep despair, that darkness of grief. And these two disciples, who have a change of some perspective, do nothing with the good news that they have seen. I don't want to judge them too harshly, but I do a little bit. Because here they walk by somebody grieving and weeping, and they do nothing to console her. They do nothing to say, "Mary, Mary, he really has risen. He has done what he told us he would do." They just take the news and go home. Yet what we know, thousands of years later, is that in that very darkness, God was at work. God was at work on behalf of Mary and behalf of us. As Mary stays there frozen outside of the tomb and as she weeps, she now leans over and peers into the dim light of the tomb and sees for herself the emptiness and the grave clothes. But Mary finds not just that. What Mary sees beyond the swaddled clothes that were on Jesus' body is she sees two angels in white, reflecting more of the dawning light, opening her eyes to a new perspective. Sitting where Jesus' body had been laid, at his head and at his feet are two angels. And unlike so many of the other stories throughout the Gospels of angels appearing to people, Mary's not startled by their appearance, and they don't have to reassure her to not be afraid. I wonder if she's in that moment that many of us have experienced, where we're so numb from the grief we're experiencing that nothing really shocks us. And the angels ask her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And for once, I would love for it to be a little different, because I would love for Mary to look at those angels and say, "Are you kidding me? I am weeping because my beloved teacher is gone. I am weeping because a man who came into this world and taught us to love differently has been killed." I want Mary to stand up and say, "Death does not get the last say." But instead, she just says, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid them." And in that moment, she turns, and in this, you know, dawning, dimly lit garden, she sees another person. And she presumes that it's the gardener. And she thinks, well, maybe he knows what has happened. And the man asks her, "Why is she weeping? Whom are you looking for?" And she asks if the man had moved the body. If only he would tell her. If only he would tell her, then she could do what is good and proper and right to be done for the dead. You see, Mary's perspective, her vision of what is happening, is still so distorted that she doesn't know who it is that is talking to her. But then Jesus calls out to her, "Mary." And in that instant, her perspective, her understanding, her ability to see is immediately changed. It's like people, in the life of the congregation when they talk about having cataracts removed and how they see colors more clearly and more vibrantly. They'll say, "I never knew that that was really green," right? You know, when that lens is changed and their perspective is changed, they see things more clearly. The scholar Caroline Lewis points out that Peter and the beloved disciple, they've seen and they've believed, but the fullness of what they've seen and believed is not yet fully realized in this morning's gospel as they walk home. She writes that to be a true believer, a disciple, a follower of Jesus in the fourth gospel is to give witness to what you've experienced in encountering Jesus, not only for the sake of making it true for yourself, but also for the sake of those who would hear and then have their own encounter with Jesus and believe. Unlike Peter and the beloved disciple this morning, when Mary's perspective is changed, when Jesus calls her by name and she sees with fresh eyes who it is that speaks to her, her newfound perspective results in her joyously announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." She goes forward bearing witness to all that Jesus had done for her from the very moment of her healing, the miracles she had witnessed, the teachings of Jesus, and yes, the empty tomb. Mary goes forward with a resurrection perspective. Mary goes forward with an understanding that, yes, things have changed, but because of they have changed, as Jesus says, he now goes to your God, to my God. With fresh perspective, Mary re-engages the world through the lens of resurrection. The author, Sue Monk Kidd, writes that the darkness of Jesus' tomb became a place of transformation, a womb, the waiting room of new life. The darkness of death was transformed into a life-giving dark. You and I and people around the world this morning and the rest of today celebrate that idea that the darkness of death does not win, that the darkness of death is transformed into life-giving dark. We celebrate the idea that the resurrection changes who we are. And if we were to just walk home and tuck it away until another day, we would be missing the point. Because the point of the resurrection is that we share about our vision of the Lord. We share about our experience of resurrection from the dark places of our own lives. And when we do that, openly and willingly, then we encounter people who are also going through those dark places and help them see the light a little bit. Because the light of Christ changes our perspective. And that light breaks into the darkest and ugliest places of this world. And it proclaims that resurrection has happened. Blessed be the name of God.